Happy New Year. Same to you. So you're getting snow?
Yep, we are.
Oh, okay. Well, we can't be far behind then.
No, it'll be coming over your way pretty soon.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Who else is there?
James, Doug Green here. How are you?
Hey, good. Haven't heard from you before, I don't think.
We talked about the Simple Living.
Yeah. Website. Okay.
About 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, cool. Let me just, I've got it recorded so we can put it in unless there's something that terribly goes wrong or we get into too much private stuff, but I'll record this and put this up after if you want to be able to download it. So how's everything going with everyone? Any major hiccups or stuff that needs to get addressed right up front?
Well, I made an interesting discovery today. The first website I registered with your hosting, James, I did in May of 2007, and I put up a WordPress blog.
Yeah.
And I haven't done a thing with it. All I did was I changed the header of the site, and it's a basic, simple header with a graphic and a couple of lines of text.
Yeah.
And I've always been wanting to do something with it, and I kept putting it off. And finally today, I went in at noon and had a look at the website stats.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised. The thing is getting, every month, it's getting about 1,100 unique visits a month. And there's no content. There's no marketing. Zero marketing and zero content. And it's getting 1,000 unique visits a month.
A month, yeah.
And so I have no idea how that's happening.
How, it's a WordPress blog.
Yeah, it is.
That's all that it is.
But I mean, how can people find it if there's no marketing or no content on it?
Well, you don't have any links at all to it?
No, none.
Hang on, let me just, did you do a backlink check or did you do anything on it?
No.
Okay, what's the actual domain?
TheOnlyWayToHeaven.com.
Oh, that one? Okay.
I'm wondering if there's some kind of a mistake. Like, I've got a whole bunch of subdomains. That's the main domain. And then I've got 3 or 4 other little subdomains. But I was wondering if it includes all the traffic to the subdomain.
But I don't know what let me just see.
But I went into cPanel.
Yeah. That's where you got those stats from?
Yeah, I'm looking right at it now, the stats, usage statistics. It wouldn't be pulling in the usage statistics of all the subdomains attached to that.
I don't know which, like I use my own tracking service, so I don't use any of the stats that actually come from the server, so I'm not overly familiar with them. So, sorry, which one did you use? There's three, there's AWStats, which, Webalizer?
Webalizer.
You used Webalizer?
Yeah.
Webalizer might be from from all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something I'll have to check, actually.
I like your theme on that. That word looks like it's moon.
Well, yeah, it's not too bad of a graphic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the only text to the site is in the graphic header, and that's it for content.
Yeah, and then you've got the link to the Rotoplay, the fantasy, the theme owner.
Oh. Not at the site.
That's on it at the bottom. And let me see if they put anything hidden. Mad skills, we got track back. What do we got there? There's one track back on the comment. Yeah, you know what? And fantasy baseball. I'm not really sure. That's a really good question. But you know, one thing I do know is that WordPress is absolutely gold for Google stuff. So
yeah,
I would put a tracking tag on that site.
Right.
If you've got a Google
use the Google
tracking. Yeah, just the Google tracking one, and there's plugins that allow you to put it onto the WordPress blog.
Yeah.
And just actually see where the people are coming from specifically over the next week, kind of thing.
Well, I'm looking at the stats here, and I wonder, like, okay, it's got sites. What does that mean? Like, it's got hits, files, pages, visits.
Yeah, hang on 1 second. I'm just going to go into, I'll log into one of my...
I'm wondering what, I'm thinking that the site statistic indicates the number of visitors coming from other sites, which I have no links, so...
The domain name's pretty powerful in its own right.
Well, yeah, I was surprised to get that domain name, and especially... Like, it's almost tough to get any .com domain name anymore.
Yeah. Although I picked up some on the weekend for a brand new MLM product, network marketing company, which will be kind of neat. But I'll just while I'm looking up the stats here, just to give you an idea how quickly they go, I searched for a domain name. And in the time that I searched for the domain name to see that it was open and registered it, I missed it.
Oh. I was wondering if there's some buddy that's developed a piece of software to tell, to alert them when a domain name is being searched.
I don't know about search, but I know that there's a... Okay, Webalizer. Yeah, okay, so when you go to the Webalizer one, are you going on the subdomain stats or the...
Well, I go on all of them. Like, there's, I've got four options here. One is the only way to heaven, and then I've got three other domains set up as well. Like, subdomains of the, like, there's Forex Consumer Reports, and that's getting a pile of hits, too, or a pile of visits, and I have done nothing with that either.
Did you check the subdomain stats?
Yep. So maybe if I add all those up...
It might come to the...
I'm checking them right now. No, that doesn't make any sense because the subdomains are getting a lot more hits and visits than that.
Yeah, because I know on Webalizer, if I just look on Webalizer on jamesmaduke.com, it comes with total hits, total files, total pages. And one of the things to just remember, too, that hits and pages are completely different, right?
Yeah, well, okay, what does visits mean then? That's unique visitors, right?
Yes.
So in other words, I could have one visit with five or six hits per visitor.
Yeah, like a hit, I believe,
is every
in Webalizer. Well, no, a hit is every piece that gets loaded. So for example, let's say you have a page and it's got six graphics on it.
Yeah,
that's seven hits.
Oh, whether they click on anything or not.
No, because the page,
oh,
like a hit, and again, this is I'm just looking at some of the ones that I have. Like, if you look at the total pages, those are the individual pages, but the hits are the actual components that make up the page.
I see.
So if you have one page, for example, as I mentioned, and it's got six pictures on it, that's seven hits for one page load.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so be very careful. It's a misleading stat when you say, okay, I'm going to look at the hits.
Yeah, I realize
that. How many hits
did
I get? It's how many page views did I get? How many visits were there to the actual site? And the visits, I believe, is to the domain. So, for example, if you have, like, a visitor to the domain,
is just
coming to, you know, the actual URL. And it doesn't have to be the home page, the index page. If someone comes to another page, that's a visit.
Yeah, so it's a visit whether they stay for a second or 5 hours, if it's just one.
That's right, or if in fact they go to 30 other pages on your site.
That's
it's
right.
It's still one visit.
So the litmus test then for the popularity of the site really is visits.
Well, yeah, it is. It depends, of course, on what the content on the site is, right?
Yeah.
So think of it that you've got they've got it backwards there. They've got visits, pages, files, and hits.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure what...
Well, what does sites mean then?
Total unique sites.
Yeah, would that have something to do with where they're coming from?
Yeah. You know what? I'll do some research on this one and see what I can pick up for you because I don't use this one.
Because I'd really be curious as to where the traffic is coming from. Now, there were some statistics indicating most of it was from the United States, but I guess that's sort of common
yeah.
for an English site to have most of the visitors from the United States. But I'm thinking, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, find out what you're doing and
yeah.
check it out.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is if you look at total sites,
yeah.
and you scroll down and total sites, you'll see that most of them, for example, will be, you know, Yahoo, crawl.yahoo.net.
Oh, I see. So,
okay. Or Googlebot,
so,
or...
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. I see what you mean.
Okay.
So sites, yeah. Okay.
See, I know, for example, on mine, Yahoo's all over some of my sites.
Well, wouldn't Google be the most popular?
Yeah, well, in terms of it might be the most popular, but it may not be as crawled as often. Like,
yeah.
I know on some of my sites, Yahoo crawls them more often than Google.
Right.
And if you go down, they have the total referrers.
Right.
And if you go down, you'll see where the hits are coming from.
Right. Okay, let's, I got another question.
I want to mention this just before you forget.
Yeah.
One of the videos that I did was on a I think the title was How I Got 17,000 Page Views.
Right.
For 30 seconds of work.
Right.
And one of the things that the real reason that tracking all of this stuff, and like I use my own service called mysmallbiztracking.com.
Right.
Which I haven't released, but I quite like it. But one of the things that I learned by using it was that I had put up some copies of some PDFs on Scribd, scribd.com.
Right.
And on some of them, like for example, on one that I last checked, and this is after I've done the video, but I had one book that had 17,000 clicks on the book to my site,
mm-hmm.
and another one how to create a profitable membership site, I think it was like 24,000 in the last couple months.
Right.
And these are things that I had forgotten about. That hadn't even spent any time adding additional books or versions or sort of tweaking what was already there.
Yeah.
And it's just a really good lesson what you've sort of stumbled onto. It's like, holy crap, I'm getting some traffic from there. First of all, is it worthwhile traffic that I need to develop? Where is it coming from? Is it something that I can enhance? Is it targeted? Am I capturing email addresses? You know, where does this fit into my sales process and the whole... sort of steps that I want these prospects to go through and you know, is it something that can be duplicated? So I would, get a real handle on if you're getting...
See, before Christmas I mentioned I was interested in this Google Conquest thing of Alex Goes,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of his principles, is set up a WordPress blog, number one, and number two, go for a low competition keyword for your domain name.
Yep.
So if you get a low comp, if you get a good keyword domain name and put it in a WordPress blog, you'll be in the top 10 of Google in no time at all if there's not that much competition for that keyword.
Yes.
So that's sort of the root of that program.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. So.
No, I know. Yeah, it's relatively new. It's only been out for a month, but I'm involved with it now, so
mm-hmm.
I'm giving it a good test. But I've got a question in connection with domain names.
Sure.
It's tough to get .coms anymore
mm-hmm.
for almost anything. So according to Alex, he suggests if you can't get a .com with a good keyword, the next best bet is go .net.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get a .net, go .org.
Yeah.
And then if you can't get either one of those three, then what you do is you do a good keyword.com. If you can't get that, you get good keyword dash now.com, and then you go through the other two. If you,
mm-hmm.
In other words, you shouldn't have any more than one dash in the domain name.
Yeah.
That's what he found, anyway.
Yeah, I somewhat disagree. I think you should, if at all possible, never have dashes in the domain
name.
And the other thing is one of the things that I kind of want you to think about. If you look, for example, at I never look for keyword domains, but I'll always look for keyword phrase domains.
Well, Well, yeah, that's basically what he's meaning.
Yeah, but I want you to stretch it out a little bit longer, because if you can have the domain that has a little bit longer phrase in it, you can still get competitive domain names or very competitive keywords if you play around with the phrase and don't worry about, you know, how it necessarily looks. Because in most cases, if it's a sales page that you're working on, something that's going to be sold, how are people going to find it?
Search engine optimization.
Well, either that, or they're going to be sent there directly by an email or a joint venture or some other link somewhere, right?
Well, with this model, it's all SEO.
That's all he's doing?
Yeah. Well, he's setting up links, too. He's got a couple of link systems working.
Yeah, is he doing like a site mesh and stuff like I was teaching at Get Ranked First on Google?
Yeah.
With the gateways and the mesh and
yep.
all netting
yep.
all the sites together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, that's stuff that happens in the background. But the way I look at it is I look in terms of if I've got a keyword phrase, it's like what is the actual phrase and then how can I package it so that it's a natural sentence that's going to be put in.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan personally of doing stuff like a now or those ones. Unless it's a buying or an action oriented one.
Yeah. Well, like for example, get rid of Acme.
Yeah.
-now.com or if his first priority is not to put the dash in, obviously, get rid of acmenow.com.
Yeah. Or how to get rid of acne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's got to match whatever word tracker says you should be using or whatever keyword tool you use that's being searched.
Yeah, and, you know, that obviously helps. And one of the things, and again, this is just something that I found personally, and it's, as you know, if you get different results with this program, that'll be interesting to talk about in the future.
Yeah.
But I think you could spend 4 billion years doing search engine optimization.
Yeah.
But still not sell anything.
Do you
understand what I mean? It's like there's only, I think search engine optimization is just one of the pieces.
Right.
And you don't have to do a great job at it. You just have to do an okay job at it.
Yeah, yeah.
See, if it all comes down to, you know, how many people do I get to the site and how many people are actually converting, because if I look and I say, okay, I'm going to spend all my time on search engine optimization, I'm not going to spend any other time doing any of the other pieces of you know, getting traffic or getting pages ranked, you could probably just as well spend some money on AdWords and get the same amount of traffic there.
Yeah.
In an hour and a half.
He doesn't recommend spending a whole lot of time on SEO either.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's just the impression that I got from what you were talking about. So.
Well, anyway, well, time will tell.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to follow up and see how things have worked out for you.
Posted for sure.
Yeah. Now, what are you selling?
Well, basically health-related products at this point in time.
Okay.
Anything to do with health.
Are you selling physical health products or physical or information health information products?
Both.
Okay. And when you're selling physical products, are you selling ones where you're you're just doing straight affiliate? You're not like a distributor or something for anything?
No, not at all. CPA or affiliate programs.
Okay.
And if there's none of that available, then it's AdSense.
Okay. Now, just for people who are listening who may not know what CPA is, what's CPA?
Cost per action. In other words, basically it's involved in getting people to go to a site for a free trial.
Mm-hmm.
Or some...
To fill in a form.
Yeah, filling in a form, name and address, and they pay you $2 or $3 or $10 or sometimes $30.
Yeah.
Like, for example, a hair loss product I'm promoting gives you a month trial of this hair loss product, and they give you $30 every time somebody fills out this free form to get this hair loss product mailed to them. So,
yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of the new, I think we're going to see a whole bunch of buzz around that, because there's a couple people have just brought out courses again on cost per action networks.
Yeah, there's arbitrage conspiracies involved in that too.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as everyone kind of jumps on that bandwagon. And
yeah, the membership sites have
sort of died down, and now it's hot for action and all that stuff. So
yeah,
waves and trends.
Yeah, and it always comes back full circle. That's the part that, you know, that I always get a kick out of. That, you know, that it's always, it comes back to the basic depth.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's always little pieces that get thrown onto it. So
yeah, everybody's got to get their piece of the pie with their little niche.
So you doing the health ones, and how has that been so far?
Well, I've just started basically this week putting up sites. I've gotten some domains, and I've got attached to affiliate programs, and I'm going to launch the sites this week.
Okay.
The program is designed, it's a 60-day challenge deal where you put 40 sites up in 60 days, and the idea is to make $5 a day per site. So at the end of 6 months, in theory, you're making $200 a day, with 40 sites making $5 a day.
Okay.
And once the site is up and running, according to the instructions, then you don't have to do much. You just leave it roll.
Okay. And so what content are you putting on these sites?
Well, he recommends that you do a 500-word article for your home page with your best keywords.
Yeah.
And then you pull in content using his blog automation program, where you set up all your blogs in this software and you pull in articles and videos and pictures. And
so it's similar to RSS to blog.
Right.
Okay. Okay, and is it his own software that he's got?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he's got a couple of different link systems where you automatically generate links to your site from a couple of link networks that he's put together.
Okay.
And then he's got automatic bookmarking too, which you join all these bookmarking sites, and then you can push a button and you get bookmarking to 20 or 30 sites, so you get links from there as well. So.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going to work, but I'll let you know at the end of February.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out, because, you know, I'm always looking at and comparing what everyone else is doing to what I've been talking about for the past 10
years.
Well, yeah,
sure, absolutely.
And, the one thing that I is always of interest to me is that, that all of these systems, very rarely do they ever talk about at some point having your own product. And it's like strictly being an affiliate marketer, and it would be interesting to me to find out how long this, you know, if someone gets to the point where they're making $200 a day from these affiliate sites, how long does it last?
Yeah.
And how many more sites do you have to add? What's the attrition or the churn rate of the site?
Yeah, I know.
And the networks. And how do you manage all of them?
Right.
How do you find out which ones you have to keep a pretty good handle on, which ones are actually earning you some money, which ones are not?
Well, supposedly his software does this for you.
Yeah.
It monitors all of your blogs. You put all your blogs into his software and
takes care of it for you.
Well, in theory, yeah. I can sell again.
Well, let us know for sure what happens on that one, because that'll
be
interesting.
You'll be the first to know for sure.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting one to find out what's going in on that. Okay. I'm just, I was looking at the one of the things that, in that log, AWeber stats again.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I just saw at the bottom there, which was kind of interesting, is they do have all of the top search strings too.
Right.
So, just keep an eye on that as well.
That's AWeber you're talking about?
No, what is it, Webalizer?
Oh, yeah.
The Webalizer stats, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they do have the search strength on that.
They do have search strengths on there?
Search strengths, yeah, so that you actually see what the number
is. Oh, yeah, I ran across that. Yeah.
Right at the bottom, so you can find out what where people are actually coming from on the site.
Where are you in looking at that? Are you on your cPanel looking at
this is in cPanel looking at the Webalizer stats, and I'll just go to the exact. In cPanel, when you click on web/FTP statistics, it gives you a couple choices. One is the Webalizer, one is Webalizer FTP, and then subdomain stats, bandwidth, error log. But if you click on Webalizer, the first one, it goes through for the main domain, the root, like the root account. And,
okay.
And if you pick a particular month, like the current month as an example, it has a complete set of stats for the month, but near the bottom there's one that has all the search strings.
Cool. Oh, okay.
Okay.
That have come into your site only.
It, well, yeah, that have come into whatever that main account is.
Sorry, Tim, you went in from the cPanel through subdomain stats?
No, I went through web. It's on mine. It went to, let me just go to the exact one again. So I went to cPanel. Then I went to the button on the main cPanel page that says web / FTP stats.
That must be towards the bottom.
On mine, I'm on the old version. I've got the old, not the X3 version of on my main account.
Oh, I see. Web FTP stats, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I never went in there. So you get into Webalyzer. You click that.
Yep. And it'll show you your stats.
Yeah.
And then there, it has summary by month. And if you just on the left-hand column, there's one there for the month. So
yeah.
You just click on the month.
Right.
Okay.
Oh,
Weblogs, Webalyzer.
Huh. And then down, actually, if you there's a link at the top that says search.
Yeah.
You can click on that one. It'll bring you right down to the top 20 total search strings.
Oh, right at the bottom.
Yeah.
You have to set up the domains first when you're in there to even.
No, these ones, the way that Webalyzer works. And again, I'm going to clarify this if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll double check. But the way that Webalyzer works, is, and with cPanel specifically, is that you have one main account, which is the one that we're looking at right now.
Uh-huh.
And then because it's only one real main account, they have another button, which was on the previous screen, that said subdomain stats. And a subdomain is actually the same thing as a domain, an add-on domain.
I just clicked into a box that gives me a choice on whether to have Webalyzer or AWStaff enabled.
Okay, so then, well, yeah, you can turn either one of them on if you want. So you might not have one on.
Yeah.
Again, it depends on how you've got your particular cPanel configured.
Okay.
Now the thing is with these ones, these actually run off the server logs.
Uh-huh.
And there are some things that they're kind of missing, and they're not the greatest interface. It's not the easiest thing to understand. So for example, if you've got something like Google Analytics or the My Small Biz tracking service, or there's a couple of other ones, it allows you to get a sort of a little more educated view of what's actually happening and trending, I think, anyway. The other thing is that, and why I don't use the Google Analytics is just because it's not real time. One of the things that happens with Google is you're usually anywhere, 24 to 30 hours out. You never get to see your stats until the day after something happens, which can be frustrating if you're doing pay-per-click campaigns or, if you're doing joint ventures, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the whole point is that you should be keeping track of what's happening and adjusting based on that. And actually, in the hub and spoke map, this is number 10. This is the last piece of the puzzle. And what happens is you look at what's happening, what you're getting, and then you go through the cycle again to readjust to say, okay, well, what worked, what didn't work, what can I do to improve what's working, and what can I do to stop spending my time on stuff that's not working, or how can I adjust it so that it does work.
But the important thing is you change one variable at a time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you change more than one variable at a time, then you don't know what's working and what's not working after that.
Yep. The other thing is that, when I always look at it, too, is I always try and add something.
Yeah.
I don't get hung up on what's working or what's not working in many cases, because if I look and let's say, for example, I'm what would be a good example? Let's say you're writing articles or you're doing blog posts A lot of times people will write an article and they'll post 5 articles or 10 articles, or someone said post 20 articles. So they post them over a period of 30 days.
Yeah.
They check their stats and they go, oh, it's not working.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that anymore. So, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to traffic, what I've always said is that pick some of the things that you like to do that you know you can be committed to over time. And all of the things work, whether it be article writing or press releases or search engine optimization or social networking. All of these things work. But what often happens, and I do the same thing too, is, you know, you get onto the treat of the week and you forget about, oh, crap, I didn't do any articles this month. Or I never wrote a press release, or I never did a joint venture, or I never, you know, did a Squido lens, or I never, and you end up, I would much rather, I think, spend and know that, hey, on Mondays I do this kind of thing, on Tuesdays I do this kind of thing, and on Wednesdays I do this, and that's what I do to add content or generate traffic and then do it consistently. And then you're going to go back and you're going to see, you know, what kind of articles work better than other ones. What kind of social networking things work better than others? What kind of signature files or press releases work better than other ones? Because, you know, you can go and find a course on every one of those different pieces.
Yeah.
They all work.
Yeah.
But you have to do them consistently over time. You know, it's like can you imagine like if a big company like Coca-Cola only ran ads for 1 month?
Yeah.
And then they sort of, oh, crap, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Let's go try something else. You know, you have to have a system of what are the pieces that I'm comfortable doing, what are the pieces that are ones that I know have a proven track record, and how can I best use them so that I can do them consistently and get traffic consistently.
Well, isn't that the principle behind drip marketing?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. You know, there's two kinds of drip. There's drip marketing on your broadcast, your emails, and sending stuff out to prospective clients who you've already captured their email address. But on the other hand, there's drip content marketing, which is how am I going to add content to my network of sites or my content site so that I'm going to draw in people so I can capture their email address.
What about repurposing content in terms of doing an article and taking that article and making a video PowerPoint presentation of it and putting it on
video
sites, and then doing maybe a podcast of a series of articles? And, in other words, you do the content once and you repurpose it 3 or 4 different times.
Absolutely.
Different ways.
Absolutely. And that's a perfect thing to do, not only from a content generation and traffic generation, but it's a good way to do your products. All of your products should be like that. You know, that the 52 products in 52 days course is exactly that. It's like, how do I take one event, one product creation thing, and how do I get 4 or 5 different products at 4 or 5 different price points by bundling and unbundling the same content in different formats? And TechSmith makes that really easy now. Like, if you've got either version, I think 4, 5, or even the new one, 6, of Camtasia, you know, when you go to output a screen capture, it actually gives you the option if you want an iPod version and an MP3 file of it.
Wow, that almost makes it worth. I've got Camtasia 3, and it wouldn't have that.
Yeah, when you do an output, right at the bottom it says, do you want to create an iPod version, and do you want an MP3 file version?
Yeah.
Plus the version that you've done.
That's amazing.
It's got 6. I haven't loaded it yet.
Yeah, I have 6, and I'm not entirely pleased with it. Well, did you download the 30-day trial one?
No.
Or did you buy it?
I bought it.
Yeah, I just downloaded the 30-day trial one. And the only thing that they've done, and this is just a heads up, is that they actually got rid of the FLV files. They're no longer outputting Flash files.
Wow.
They're outputting MP4 files, which are the, and actually Windows Media Video files are MP4 files, and FLV files are MP4 files, And QuickTime MOV files are MP4 files. They're just different containers around the actual file, different versions of the implementations of the same file. But in Camtasia 6, it only out. I know when you go to Flash, it outputs it as an MP4 file. And the thing that is kind of weird on that is that if, for example, on and I know this because of on our site, what happens is if I upload an MP4 file, Apple QuickTime is the one that actually plays the videos now. So that means that if you use that MP4 file, every one of your users has to have Apple QuickTime installed instead of the Flash player.
Couldn't you go back into your Windows Explorer and say FLV will be opened by...
Well, it's an MP4. It's an MP4 one, and it's actually like when you embed it, when you embed the MP4 file. I know the one that I'm using, the all videos in Joomla. It automatically picks whatever plugin for the file types, and the browser. And I don't know why it's doing this, and I actually have a question on some of the discussion forums. But it automatically, it doesn't matter if it's Netscape or Internet Explorer, it's actually using the QuickTime plugin. So just a heads up, if you don't have Mac users or you don't have people, because out of the embedded players, the QuickTime player is the least embedded. So we'll see what happens there. But that's a great point. Just go ahead and as many different products as you can, or as many different versions of the content. If you're creating it once and you can get it created multiple times, yeah, absolutely. I would repurpose the content.
You were talking about TechSmith or TechSmith?
TechSmith, yeah. TechSmith is Cam... Yeah, TechSmith. That's the software company that does Camtasia.
Oh, okay. And then also, yeah, I see. And then also Snagit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question about Joomla versus WordPress.
Sure.
Go to a site called communityrising.com.
Okay, hang on one second.
I may be getting involved in developing a website for an intentional community group getting started in the Bay Area.
Yep. Hey, Doug, this is Andrew. How you doing? What was that website again?
Andrew, how are you?
Oh, I'm pissed off that I was calling for 45 minutes and they kept telling me that all circuits were busy.
Yeah, I got that too. I got that too.
That's okay. Not your fault. Yeah, what's the site?
The website is communityrising.com.
Ketchum, Idaho?
Yeah, Ketchum, Idaho. As luck would have it, this is like the third transition community in the country, and it's a town where I used to live.
Okay.
So I know the people involved in this. Anyway, I like this site. They did it with Joomla.
Mm-hmm.
I called the webmaster on this, and they did a lot of customization to create this.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to... I'm still going through the Joomla versus WordPress.
Yeah.
State of my mind. And, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, God, I would really like to use WordPress if I can, because it just seems so much easier.
It is. You know what, Doug? Let me give you a couple words of, you know what? WordPress is easier, but it depends upon what you want it to look like and how you want the content to be arranged, unless you're going to pay somebody to do a really fancy WordPress template for you, and what you need. Like James said to me, you know, if you're going to need to have videos and a forum and tons of articles and a different layout and navigation, unless people in WordPress can create those kind of templates, then Joomla is just more robust. It's a more robust site. It's designed to have tons of content over time. I guess you can have the same thing in WordPress as long as you got yourself a good template that could, you know, that could organize all the stuff and do that.
So if you look at this site, this actually has a lot of the things that I would want to have on the site. Forum, calendar.
You got groups? They've got groups there, too.
It looks like a beautiful template, man. I wonder who did that for them.
Yeah. Well, they started with one, and then they've added their own stuff to it. They've got groups. They've got. I would also like to have some writers working on this that have already offered to write columns.
Yep.
I want them to be able to go in and do their own thing, take care of their own content, have it tagged multiple ways if it can be.
Yep.
Which I know is a problem with Joomla.
What do you mean by tagging?
Yeah, my understanding is if you write an article, you can only kind of give it one category.
Yeah, that's kind of a pain in the butt, but maybe James knows differently.
There's some other ways around it other than putting, an article is an article, but there's lots of different ways to tag different articles.
Okay.
And make them available in all sorts of different ways.
Okay.
So calendar, forums, people being able to come in and enter their own calendar events here, although they'd have to have a membership to do it.
Yep.
Same with the forums, obviously. So can all of this be done in Wordsmith versus this?
In WordPress?
WordPress? Am I crazy to even think that I should be going that route?
But part of the thing, Doug, is that part of the thing with WordPress is that all of the internet marketing people are all hot on WordPress because it's very easy to get started quick. It's easy to get started immediately. It's easy to get started doing something so that I think people start to get some momentum and think that they're actually doing something. But the thing about Joomla is Joomla or something else is designed to be more of a real website where I don't think just after using WordPress for a couple of years and now doing Joomla, even though it's more complicated, and I've been like pulling my hair out just trying to figure out how to use the freaking thing, it really is more robust and it's more designed to be more of a fully functioning site where WordPress is not, like I said, unless you can get a template, a person to design a template, it's just not designed to be a really robust system, especially if you're going to have a membership area, although I know Stu McLaren's promoting that new WordPress membership, deal. I don't know how he's doing that.
Well, and the other thing is the content, because for all intents and purposes, and this is a discussion I had with you, Andrew, about the content, WordPress and Joomla are both content management systems.
Right. Mm-hmm.
WordPress was designed from the start to be a single-user content management system, a personal publishing system. Joomla was designed from the start to be a multi-user publishing system.
Okay.
So the architectures are a little bit different, and I'll give you one of the big things that I've noticed. The first one is just, and we talked about content. In WordPress, you have categories and posts, correct?
Correct. And you can do pages. You have categories, you have pages, and you have posts.
Posts. And the pages are standalone pages.
Yes, that's correct.
They're not part of a category. They're not part of a post.
That's correct.
Okay, those are the kind of things that you have. In Joomla, you have sections, categories, and articles. So there's a three-level architecture of keeping track of the content. And in Joomla, you have what's called, in Joomla 1.5, they have an uncategorized, which is identical to pages.
That's
WordPress.
That one.
Yeah. So you have the same thing, pages equals pages, but in WordPress you've got categories and posts. In Joomla you've got categories and articles, but then Joomla has sections, a whole other tier above it. It's not there in WordPress. Some of the things, for example, in terms of the plugins and the functionality that's available in Joomla just aren't even they don't exist in WordPress.
And so what that gives you the capacity to do is to really group your links, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In better ways.
And organize content. Yeah, and it's, the difference, I think the real key is you look in the long term. If you're going to have a WordPress blog and you're going to have 1,000 posts over the next 10 years,
mm-hmm.
stick with WordPress. But if you want 15,000 pages or 20,000 pages, in all sorts of different categories and sections, and you want a community built out, is WordPress going to do it for you? No, it's not.
No.
You know, WordPress will. I think they'll always do a really good job with WordPress extending where it is to add some things to it, but it's like you kind of have to go along with the ride as they figure stuff out,
And, you know, if you want to do that, you can certainly do that. If you want to grow with them, you can grow with them. If you don't need or don't think that you're going to have a lot of content on it. See, one of the other things, I'll just give you an example, is that they right now, the whole issue of community and having face pages and the ability to post your own content as a registered user, that kind of stuff just doesn't exist on WordPress. And yet there's Community Builder, which is one that I had set up at my small biz U for the longest time. There's another one called Joom Community, which is new, that actually uses a native 1.5 stuff that's just come out before Christmas. And that's, you know, that's, those are community sites. That's fundamentally different than the way WordPress was designed and the way WordPress is going.
Okay.
So yes, there is some headspace up front. You know, one of the things that I always wanted to, you know, try and get across to people is you don't have to have a perfect Joomla site to get started.
Right.
You know, start with what you have, start selling what you have, or, you know, promoting what you have, and gradually introduce the pieces, not only as you learn how to use them, but more importantly, how your users learn how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you've got someone who's, you know, you've got a grouping of people there, you know, Transition Initiative in Ketchum, Ohio, are these people all up on all the latest terms about, you know, RSS feeds and all this stuff?
Hey, let me tell you something else already, Doug, is that on our site, we've got James installed the events calendar, and the events calendar alone, for me, already has made a huge difference, because I don't know of any other kind of calendar like that they have for WordPress. And I uploaded my stuff for the whole year, and I can go in and change things and move things around, and you can copy things and archive things. And already people have gone to my site and went, oh my gosh, look at all the stuff you're doing. We haven't even done anything yet. I mean, we had one class. You know, it's muscletestingtips.com, but we're going to change that name. Which is another issue.
Yeah. Now there is a calendar for one, but it, you know, whether or not it's
iCalendar, but then you have to have somebody do the programming with PHP and stuff, and it's not like I don't know how to do any of that. You have to get a programmer to do it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's set up for multi-user. It's like the admin can put their stuff in.
Oh, okay.
But it's not set up to, you know, to have events set in, for example, by registered user or special users. And I can't remember in WordPress if they even allow special users. Because I know
a registered user.
Yeah, well, a registered user, but there's three levels of users in the default version of Joomla, which is the registered, special, and admin.
Right.
And special has the right to add or edit content in specific areas. So, you had mentioned that what you wanted to do is have writers who would come in and submit content. You know,
they can come in, write an article, and just, you know.
That's right.
Boom, it goes, and then it gets, some of it will be collected onto the front page.
And the administrator can, you know, publish or unpublish it based on whether or not they've written a good enough article for them, or, you know, depending on how you want to get it set up.
See, this Community Writing Set's got a nice events calendar on it already.
Yeah, that's actually the same. That's the one that I use, and it's quite a nice one.
Yeah, those calendars in Joomla are beautiful.
Yeah. And this one, the only thing that I'm just looking to is this particular one. I'm not sure it's. Let me just see which version it is. Yeah, it's the one that only works in legacy mode right now. So they're working on that, which slows things down a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know sometimes the site is really slow.
Yeah.
It's the J-Events. That's a calendar, is it?
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody else got any questions?
You got one, Andrew. Shoot, buddy.
I got a bunch. Okay, so I came in under, you were talking about videos.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to know some best video upload practices, because we have a bunch of upload videos. I try going to the, I haven't saved in Windows as WMV files, because I thought that was the smallest file format.
Yeah.
But they take like 2 hours to FTP up to the server, and then, you know, I can't, then all I can do is provide a link. to them for people to watch, and they need to download and watch them, because they can't, they certainly, it'll take forever to stream. I went to Amazon S3 today,
yeah,
and I don't know any of these computer languages, and, you know,
Did you look at that link that I sent you for that Making S3 Simple? The one on the James Maduk Live site, remember I had that?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Okay, what is, I didn't
yeah,
even, I, didn't remember
I can't remember the name, it's jamesmaduklive.com.
JamesMaduklive.com. Okay. Hang on, let me get over here.
And this site, all that I've done with this site is I've used Twirl so that everything that I do in Twitter gets posted.
What is Twirl?
Twirl is a client for Twitter. Twirl is a desktop client so that it just runs on my computer and it runs
okay.
up like a widget up on the screen. And if I want to do a Twitter post, I don't have to go to Twitter.
Okay.
All I do is I type it right in the widget and do, you know, post or tweet.
Okay.
It automatically updates Twitter, but I've also got a plugin at WordPress that automatically takes everything in Twitter and creates an individual post for it.
Okay.
So I don't have to post anything at James Maduk Live. It automatically gets added.
Okay, well, that's cool for Web 2.0
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, okay, so on the right-hand side of the main page, there's Video Marketing Made Easy.
I see the web banner design, video, my fault is you. There it is. Okay,
and
click.
Just click on it, Easy S3. And that's the service that...
You did say this weeks ago, and I totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
so what this does is it's the interface.
Yeah,
and
it's an interface to S3 getting it set up.
Oh,
now, the other one, if you have trouble, you know, with that, there's actually for a plugin for Firefox called S3 Organizer.
Okay.
And that's like a Firefox application that runs in your browser, and it's just like you use the tools menu in Firefox after it's installed, and it creates what looks like an FTP client, but it's got, on the left hand side, it's got your hard drive, and on the right hand side, it's got your S3 account, and basically all you do is drag and drop files from your hard drive to your S3 account, and it automatically uploads them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
So where are you storing videos? S3, you're calling it?
Yes, Amazon S3. Which is a simple storage service, I think it is. But it's if you go to Amazon Web Services.
Yeah. Yeah, I already got an account there. Which is, okay, so still save it as the Windows Media file, because that's the smallest. Okay.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, and I set this up on your blog, if I'm not mistaken, is that when what you need to do is in Joomla is you should install a plugin called All Videos, and the plugin is from JoomlaWorks.gr.
Oh, this is I think you did that. This is for Melanie's site
that
I'm working on with her. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a plugin called All Videos, and it's from JoomlaWorks.gr, a site from Greece.
JoomlaWorks.gr, Greece. Okay.
And what it basically does. Is this little plugin, you use a little tag. For example, I use one that would say, it's got like a curly bracket, WMV remote, and then it's got my Amazon address to wherever the file is on Amazon, and then it's got another curly quote, / WMV remote to close the tag, and what happens is that it automatically puts the right Windows Media Video Player embedded in the browser window, and then plays the file remotely from Amazon.
Oh, that's how you're doing it, okay.
Yeah.
And you find that works great, eh, James?
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things, like, we have, I don't know, we've got a whole bunch of servers. Stuff I put on my site, I used to run all off of the jamesmaduk.com library site.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if someone, you know, if you get 10 people, it doesn't matter how big your server is, but if you got 10 people downloading, you know, 20 meg or 30 meg files, a web server was never designed to do that.
No.
It was designed to do little tiny HTML files. And the other thing is the cost, because I know I've mentioned this almost every week. my bill at Amazon for gigabytes and gigabytes of video being stored there and delivered is like $10 a month.
Wow. You can't beat that.
No. And it's always there.
Well, yeah,
I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Their servers are going to be bulletproof.
Well, yeah, and it's not a server. That's the interesting thing.
It's one of those that new technology.
Yeah, it's the, and I talked about this in the last one, too, actually, the last coaching call. You know, get ready. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening with this whole cloud computing thing, and that's virtualization. That's what's happening with that's what Amazon is. So it's a whole bunch of machines, but it's looking like one machine to you. But really, it's your files, your applications spread over thousands of machines, each doing a little bit of the job.
Wow. Okay, I've got another question about Google Analytics / stats tracking.
Yep.
How do I get that? Because I need to get that set up so that I can start. I'm having these guys from JoomlaVog, they made some tweaks to my template, and it looks better, and now that they changed that, I need to get a new banner, and I want to change the name of my site, which was a question about changing the name, and then I need to get the Google Analytics and stats tracking in place so that I can track my conversion to do some pay-per-click and do some tracking. So.
Okay. There are a couple things. One is that if you go to the extensions.joomla.org site, there are Google Analytics plugins that you can just download and install the new plugin. And it'll say what's your Google Analytics tag or whatever.
And we just go to Google and sign up for one, because I don't have
Yeah,
that.
If you don't have one, okay. You can do that. So that's like a no-brainer. If you get stuck with the plugin or you don't want the plugin, the other thing that I do is I actually edit the template HTML and just put the tracking tag in the HTML at the bottom, and it's the exact same thing as the Google plugin,
so it doesn't really
matter. But you're better off to do the plugin if you can get one and do that. The second thing is, if you have another domain that you want for the site, my recommendation is to not move the site.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
But you want to park a domain on the site.
Park
a domain.
Okay.
And parking a domain is different than pointing a domain.
Okay.
Okay, I'll give you an example. The My Small Biz U site technically was never installed on My Small Biz U. And never has been. My Small Biz U is a domain name that is parked on the WMFSB.com domain.
Oh, right. I remember that.
Yeah. So if, you know, WMFSB.com is the actual domain and account that it was installed on, but all that I did is and you can do this right from within cPanel.
Okay.
You can park a domain, and I believe I've set everyone up to be able to park domains. But what happens is it just tells the web server, it says, Healthy Music or whatever your domain name is now is equal to this domain. So it doesn't matter what they type in, just treat them as the same thing.
So it doesn't matter. So if they type in muscletestingtips.com, it'll read muscletestingtips. Or if I tell them howtomuscletest.com, it'll read that one.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
That won't affect the search engines at all?
Well, and you know what happens is most of the time, what happens when you have a parked, like if you had 1,000 domains parked, I'm sure it would cause a problem. That's when they go, oh, wait, there's something fishy going on, right? But if you have one or two domains parked, it's not a problem. And in fact, what really becomes the issue is the links from other sites and stuff going to it. Because if you look, I have some sites that are sometimes if you do searches on some of my stuff, it'll show up as WMFSB.com on an old link. But the majority of the stuff, it shows up as My Small Biz U. Because all of the links and my emails that are going out or anything that maybe an affiliate has done is to My Small Biz U, not to the old one that I never tell anyone about.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not, I don't think personally that it's an issue to be concerned about.
Okay.
Okay. And a lot of times people do this anyway. If, for example, they've got a big company, They've bought the .com, the .net, the .org. They've bought the, you know, versions that have misspellings and stuff. They usually, what they'll do is they'll forward the misspellings, pardon me, to the main actual name. But in many cases, you'll find that you go .net and it's the same site as .com, it's .org, same thing.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of forwarding, what is the difference between a frame redirect versus an HTTP redirect?
Okay, those two good questions. Actually, this is there's videos that show how to do redirects in the Build My First Website course.
Okay, well, I already did it. I just wasn't sure which one to pick.
Okay. The one of them is called a meta refresh, an HTTP meta refresh, and that's when you put a tag up in the head of your HTML page, and it's basically a command to the browser that says, refresh the page to this URL. Okay, so what happens is, I'll give you an example. If you go to, I have some working right now, for example, on the what used to be the My Small Biz U order page, the mysmallbizu.com order. mysmallbizu.com /order.htm.
Okay.
Uh-oh, I got to check that. It looks like I broke something. Sorry. I had it set up to refresh before. Did it refresh to the other order page? So that was just a command in the head. And what it happens is it goes from one, if you type in, you know, page name.html, it automatically refreshes the page and puts it to another URL. Okay? So that's an HTTP redirect. Okay? Now, a frame or a single page or a single pixel frame redirect is one that Stephen Pearce, remember, he made a whole bunch of money talking about smart pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
A smart page is all that was a single page redirect. And what it is it says, here's a page that's got a frame on it. It's got one frame across the top of the page, one pixel high, and then it's got a second frame that's a secondary frame, which is the rest of the page. And, of course, what loads is that one pixel frame, right? And then what happens is that it commands the secondary frame to open up another URL.
Right.
So the page that shows up is actually on a completely different URL, as far as you know, but what shows up in the browser window is your domain.
Yeah.
And what was really important about this at the time was that people were using it because they could hide their affiliate links.
Oh.
So let's say for example you were an affiliate for the Do Drop In company. What you could do is you could buy a domain or create a page that says, you know, mydomain.com/dodropinoffer.html.
Okay.
You would send someone to that page. You didn't have to do any HTML and about the offer or any of that stuff. All that you did is you set up one of these single-page redirects. It looked like they were on your page, but what showed up underneath was your affiliate link already sent to the other person or your affiliate's page. So, you know, person browsing can't go and steal your hop link name, for example, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's too late by then because the cookie's already set.
Right, okay.
Okay. Now, the problem with this is that everyone, of course, all the Internet marketers went overboard with it and screwed it for everyone.
What else was new?
Because what happened is Google went, well, wait a second, I'm not here to show pages that are hidden. I want to see what the actual page is. So they started discounting them.
Google pretty tough to fool.
Yeah.
Now, so basically, when I go to my host company with where all my domains are, I want to select use the HTTP redirect, not the frame redirect.
Yeah, you can do that, or actually, I would use neither. Here's what you can do. One of them is that, and this is where the redirects come in at the cPanel. Because you have cPanel, you can create as many redirects as you want.
So what you're saying is when I go to my hosting company, instead of doing a redirect, I should just go ahead and forward that domain to your server and then go into cPanel and do the redirect to the forwarding there?
Well, no. Well, yes, it's kind of. Think of it this way. Let's say I've got drandrewcollier.com.
Okay.
And I create a folder on drandrewcollier.com called recommend.
Okay.
Okay. So I log into cPanel and I go to the redirects thing and I say, take this page, drcollier.com/redirects, offer1.html, and forward it to my affiliate link, whatever it happens to be on the other, on whoever I'm promoting site.
Okay.
So what happens is when someone comes to your page, drandrewcollier.com/recommends, offer1.html, they type that into the browser,
yeah.
Where are they directed?
To wherever we tell them to.
That's
they,
right. They're directed, but your cookie set.
Okay, then maybe I'm not being clear with the question I'm asking. I'm asking this question around renaming my website. So the thing is, right now, my Joomla site is set up on muscletestingtips.com.
Yeah.
But I want it to now be howtomuscletest.com.
Yeah.
So right now, in my hosting, I have howtomuscletest.com over at 1&1, just forward.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? But I need to rename the
page. You can't. You have to transfer the domain to the My Small Biz web hosting.
Okay.
And then
so
you have to park it.
Okay.
You have to park it. You can't park a domain on one server, park it on another server. It doesn't work
that
way.
So I have to basically send it to the ns1.mysmallbiz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hosting whatever, and then park it.
And then park it. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Park it using cPanel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you can't,
right.
It says you can't, then I just got to adjust your account.
I'll make sure
you can park
it,
because some of them I have set up that no parking, but it should be parking.
No parking. That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that, but that was a good discussion
okay.
on redirects as well, because
right.
one of the things that, you know, that I've started doing is I've actually got some domains. Instead of doing redirects, I'm just buying domains now that are being forwarded to my affiliate page.
You're just buying domains that are forwarded to your affiliate pages
to,
for other marketing people?
Yeah, exactly.
And you do that in the on the web page where the domain is registered.
Well, no, I'm just doing it right within cPanel. I create the account or the add-on domain in cPanel.
So you can do it that way, but you can all, like, let's say you registered a domain name on GoDaddy. You could go into the GoDaddy domain name registration and create a redirect there, but you also say you can do it in your cPanel.
You can do it in the cPanel as well, or that's correct, or within the registrar. You can do it as well within our registrar.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know it's 10:15. I have one more, just a quickie on this one. It's going to be quickie. Is there anything, PPC and traffic generation. Is there a whole video, I didn't even look yet, video course on that?
Yeah, I have, I think, 14 or 15 videos on pay-per-click.
Okay.
And also, if you look in the video section, there's actually halfway down it says generate traffic.
Okay.
And if you look there, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's 13 categories there. We've got 25.
Okay.
There's over 100 and some videos there.
Oh, wow, okay.
Over
and then
things like blogging, social marketing, getting ranked first on Google, joint ventures, press releases, mini courses and mini sites, affiliates, integrated online and offline marketing. There's a book there. Marketing with videos, viral marketing, and pay-per-click traffic.
Okay. And then as far as conversion, how do we know, and then this is a long answer, you can give me the two-second answer for right now. Once I get the site kind of tweaked out enough to start sending traffic, and we get these Google Analytics thing, how do we know what to start pick first on our conversion? Is that a whole, I'm sure that's a really long answer, but.
Well, it is, and it isn't. One of the things that, and again, I just did I just uploaded one of the other 52 secrets, and one of the biggest mistakes that many people make. I'll give you an example. I had a lady, a local lady here, who's a yoga instructor, and she wrote a book on, and I'm just trying to remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was about yoga and financial planning. It's like how yoga and financial planning go together.
Okay.
So yoga's really, really cool right now, right, with all the Lululemon clothes, and then you got financial planning, which is always important.
Right.
She's got... She's been on TV shows in the Canada and the States. She's on radio shows. I go to her site, and what's the one thing that isn't there?
A sales page to buy her stuff?
Well, no, she has a nice page. It's not a sales page, but there
an
was
opt-in box.
There was nowhere to capture an email address, and she's only selling a physical book at bookstores.
Wow.
So I'm going, ah! I'm just screaming inside. So one of the things that you know, no matter how big your Joomla site is, you have to remember that the purpose of the first contact with any prospective visitor is to capture the email address.
You know, I have over 20 people. Now, I've done zero marketing for this site. None.
Yeah.
And I have already 20 people who already opted into my AWeber account. I'm
yeah.
like, why are these people signing up? I haven't done anything. I don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah.
I'm like, this site looks horrible. I don't
worry about how it looks. Just worry about how it acts.
I'm like, in 3 weeks, I got 20 people signing up for my list, and I didn't do anything. So,
yeah. But all I'm saying is that, you know, when
anyway.
You look at conversions, if you're going
right.
to run PPC, don't send them to the front page of your Joomla site.
Ah, okay.
If you're going to run PPC, you know, do an uncategorized page, and
yeah.
the purpose of that page is to get them to sign up for something. A free muscle testing tips download. A squeeze, you know, call it a squeeze page or a landing page, whatever you want. But remember that the purpose is that you've paid 28 cents or $1.19 or 50 cents or whatever. Make sure that you get the email address from it.
Okay.
Okay? And then after that, then you can start introducing them to the different things that you do on the site.
Okay. So this may be part of this. That's your SEF 404 plugin question. But how do we link? And I asked you this briefly the other day. How do we link directly to the articles if they're uncategorized? I just want to link to them.
You can use the direct link. So each of the just go to the page.
Yeah.
And, you know, look in your browser, go to the page, and then you can always copy down the URL.
I tried that, and what happened was I had some uncategorized articles in a module, and I took out that module because I wanted to move it somewhere else, and I know the article still exists, but now when I click on the link that I had before, it says it's not found. But it was, you know, like .com/ about Dr. Andrew Collier.
Oh, yeah. With the search engine friendly ones?
Yeah.
If the search engine friendly ones are if that's active, what happens is there's like a cache or a database that says this page .html is equal to the Joomla page that says content/ category equals ID equals whatever, whatever, ampersand.
Yeah.
And if you've moved the page or moved the category or moved the menu that it was originally associated with it, then it says, well, where the heck is it? It's not the same place. So just show me the link, and then I'll take a look at it. But, in, like, for example, if you go to, I know on, like, on mine with the My Small Biz, webhosting.com, I have uncategorized pages, for example. There's one there, like if you do mysmallbizwebhosting.com/video-library.html.
Okay.
mysmallbizwebhosting.com/video-library.html.
Oh, well, I'm in Firefox. Hang on, I get to the other browser.
Yeah.
video-library.html. Whoops. HTML. Wow, error 500. Let's try refreshing the
page. Just refresh the screen here.
I did that. There it comes. Why did it do that?
I don't know. I'm still trying
to. We don't know. Have you wasted money buying flimsy, link-infested, outdated ebooks?
Yeah. But that's just that's an uncategorized page.
So basically, if I put up a new one, yeah, that's what I want, because I want to have links to all my articles directly off one page. I'm trying to keep it really simple because my audience is not very web savvy, and to ask them to navigate is, you know, then they're annoyed. So
yeah.
So should I take the page? Well, so basically, do I need to clear my cache or some kind of database or how?
We just use the standard Joomla one, right? The standard Joomla search engine friendly links, I think.
I think so, yeah, because mine's just, you know, about Dr. Andrews or whatever, so.
Well, I'll show you, there's one real trick that you can find out, an easy way to do it. And it doesn't make for good looking links, but it's an easy way to always find out. If you go to the global configuration, and for a second what you do is you just turn off the search engine friendly links.
Ah, okay.
I'm just thinking, we only use that one. If you turn them off and then you go to the same page again, you'll actually see the real link to it.
Okay.
And the real link will always work.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you know, you can make a shorter link or whatever if you want, use a service or just, you know, use it as an HTML link where it doesn't really matter what the actual URL looks like, but just keep an eye, you know, keep a little copy of it on a piece of paper and a notepad and say, well, you know, this is my sales page one, this is the actual link, sales page two, this is the actual link, or category, whatever you want to set up.
Okay.
And then when you're finished, just turn the SEF back on.
Okay.
And you can just send them to that original link and they'll always get there.
Okay.
I have a quick question about videos.
Yep.
If you use this Amazon S3 for your storage for audio or video, how do you wrap it? They don't give you the code that gives you the player, do they?
No, that's right. When you use that All Videos, the JoomlaWorks.gr.
Okay.
It's a free plugin for both Joomla 1.0 and 1.5. And what it does is you install it as a plugin. And there's just a little tag that you put before and after the S3 link that you have, and it automatically embeds the player in the page when it's opened using the appropriate embedded player. So it knows that if it's a WMV or a WMA file, it'll open up the Silverlight plugin. If it's a MOV one, it'll embed the QuickTime plugin. If it's a Flash one, it'll embed the Flash plugin.
And so what is the name of that plugin? Are they saying for Joomla again?
It's called JoomlaWorks.gr. That's the domain name.
Okay.
And the plugin is called All Videos.
Okay. And then what about for audio?
Same plugin. It does. It actually does. If you go to the site, you can see it does YouTube videos, Metacafe, Rever. There's like 50 or 60 that it's already set up for.
Oh, great. Okay.
So all you do is you put the, you know, like you put the bracketed tag YouTube, then you put the YouTube link, then you put the closed bracket YouTube, and then it'll automatically embed whatever YouTube video it is, or if it's Rever, or if it's a WMA file, or whatever it happens to be.
So
like
that's
50.
So we do that, and I guess because I haven't used it yet. So when we go into the Joomla admin panel, I'll go to the All Videos plugin, or I will do that when I write an article, or
only when you
I'll,
yeah yeah. First of all, you have to go to the plugins and make sure that it's active.
The plugin manager, make sure it's active. Okay.
Make sure that it's enabled, right? And
yep.
That's all you have to do. And then what happens is when you write an article, wherever you want the video to show up in the article, you put the tag in.
Okay.
And what I do is I put the, and here's an important distinction. I put the tag, if it's a registered article, and I'm showing the intro of the text, what I do is if I show the intro of the text, and then I put the page break, you know, the little button for a page break?
Yep.
And then I put in the video tag after the page break. So if someone is not registered and I have the site set up to show the intro text, it'll show the intro text, but they don't get to see the video until they've logged in.
So how do you... Okay, so I thought when you have articles that are for registered users only, I thought they can't see any part of the article unless they're registered.
Yeah, in the global parameters, there's one of the settings there that says show intro text.
Oh, okay.
And the show intro text shows what's above the page break, or the read more. It's not page break, pardon me, it's read more. It's called a read more button.
Right. Button. So basically that way, if we wanted people to have access to see the titles and the intro text of all of our articles,
that's what I've done.
Okay, so that's what I need. So that way they can't get to the rest of the article unless they've paid or registered.
That's right.
Or whatever.
So it's a teaser, right? The intro text is the teaser. It's like the ad.
Okay. Okay.
And just make sure that if you're selling videos, that you put the video link after the read more.
Okay.
Because if you put it above, you don't have a membership site.
Right. After the read more. But I have to go into the global parameters, do the intro text. But then I have to go back and change all of my articles that I had changed to registered users only.
Keep them registered. They're registered.
Oh, you keep them. That's right. But the show intro text will let them see the title and the intro text of the
article.
Right. They get to the rest of it until it's...
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
And that's when, like, if they're just in a list, for example, in a category list, they're not, they won't be able to see anything. But if they're in, like, the blog category where there's an intro text showing, that's where the intro text shows.
So, you're saying if we have, say, a whole category registered, then it won't do that. But we need to leave the sections and the categories
Public.
Leave. Okay. So that's what I'm.
Yeah, that's how I've got it done. Anyway.
Leave the sections. I like that. And categories public.
Yeah.
But make the articles registered.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's like 10:30. When we should let you go now.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be fine with me.
Sorry.
Did we get enough covered in an hour and a half?
You know what? Thank you so much for staying on. I was just so frustrated hitting the readout for like 45 minutes.
So was I. It took me 10 minutes to get on too, so.
Of your own call.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay.
Hey, Doug, I hope you're doing well, man. Is
he
still here, D-Lee?
He's still there. And Alex, are you still there? I think Alex might have left. This call was recorded, so I'll put it up either tonight or tomorrow, and it'll be up and listed.
Great.
All right. Okay, and if there's
thank
any other
so
videos
much.
Or anything you need, let me know, okay?
Okay,
and Doug,
great.
Just to make sure, Doug, you know how to get onto the new site? And Alex, if you're still on, you know how to get onto the new site?
I'm not sure. I'm actually looking at Build Your Hub site, so I guess I do.
Okay, hang on.
Just went to mysmallbizu.com.
Yeah, actually, I have that's an old version of Joomla, and one of the things I did over the holidays is I migrated the site to the new version of Joomla, which is the mysmallbizwebhosting.com.
Oh, okay.
And that's
mysmallbizwebhosting.com. Okay.
And the reason, one of the big reasons we did that was because I wanted to be able to use the exact same username and password from the support site as from the other site. So if you've got a valid account, you should be able to use your email address and password to get into there.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to get to the video. Like 1,000 videos. I just want to go to the Joomla one.
Yep. They're in build sites.
No. I'm not seeing that.
builds, sorry, site building, my part. Just click on site building in the 1,000 videos, in the drop-down menu under 1,000 videos. Click on site building.
And then should I go to this website builder?
No, if you go down, you'll see there's a membership site, Joomla 1 and Joomla 1.5.
I'm not seeing any of the Joomla stuff because I look at this. I hit 1,000 videos, site building, and all I see is website builder, WordPress, front page sites, and membership sites.
Yeah, just click on the actual 1,000 videos. Click on site building. Click on the actual site building link, not the submenu.
Okay. All right, good.
Yeah, and down at the bottom, you'll see there's new Joomla 1.5, and then above it, there's 1.x.
Okay. All right, there I am. Glad you were here.
Perfect. And if you have any trouble, just open a support ticket, because we had a couple people that had an error 500 that came up with the new site, so that's why I have both of them open, My Small Biz U and My Small Biz Web Hosting. But once we get everything squared away with the new version, I'm going to park My Small Biz U on top of My Small Biz Web Hosting.
Okay.
But they're both open for now. My Small Biz Web Hosting uses the email address and password that you used when you registered, and My Small Biz U uses a separate username and password, which was why it was a little bit cumbersome.
Go ahead, George.
It's a unique way for people to get in here. They can have their own unique name and password, and you're using it, doing that with a Joomla site. How are you controlling that?
I'm not telling.
I'm going to bet he's doing it with, you were using a member, but you switched so you could have everything under, because he does hosting and he has to have lots of different things all under one thing, I think he switched, but you could, if you didn't have to do hosting and...
Then I'd be using a member, but I'm not
using
a member.
Yeah,
I'm using some software called WHMCS. And it's a billing software for hosting companies, but it also does billing for anything, basically.
WHMCS?
Yeah, .com.
Not going to do us much good unless we're hosting, though, yeah?
Right.
the biggest hassle when I was using a member was if people had usernames and passwords in for the Joomla site and a member, but they never could remember, what's my cPanel one, or what's my...
Right.
How do I get into cPanel, or what's my FTP, or... And that isn't available in a member. So I still have a member up and running because there's stuff still running on it, but for all intents and purposes, we're sticking with the WHMCS. Which is a... go ahead.
Okay. It was just preferred you to also finish that sentence you were going to say.
No, it's just a professional billing system, a little cleaner, and does invoicing and all sorts of stuff that wasn't available in A-Member.
I noticed that you didn't have... our little names don't appear on the side anymore in that sidebar. You just decided to take that out of the new 1.5 version?
For now, yes.
Okay.
For now, yes, because the plugin that I'm using doesn't lend itself easily to that at this point.
Okay.
So you'll see it perf back at some point.
Okay.
You'd prefer to have some left side navigation too, left hand nav.
You would like left hand nav?
I like to use them in conjunction. I like to have the primary ones on the top and then the secondary ones on the side.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of
go ahead.
I was
gonna say it depends upon the user. It really depends upon the user. If people are more web savvy, then you can do that. If they're not very web savvy people, then you need to keep it as simple as possible.
Which one gets better search engine rankings, left or right?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you this. Based on eye patterns, you know, the eye moves from left to right, and then it goes down at an angle to the left, and then it comes back to the right in the pattern of the letter Z.
Yep.
And I'm going to bet that it gets better search engine rankings with the if you put a nav bar, if it's in a column, I'm going to bet that it's on the right.
You bet. Try and find a WordPress theme that has a left-hand nav column.
Well, you could put them in. I mean, you could choose them in the template.
Yeah, try and find one. Everyone who's got a WordPress site has right-hand nav and right-hand graphics and right-hand ads, all that stuff.
They're just easier to read.
Well, not only that, when you look at the HTML,
yeah,
where's the content? At the top of the page, or is it at the bottom? If you've got a left-hand nav, the navigation shows up in the HTML before the content.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you have a right-hand nav, that means that the meat shows up before the navigation links.
Because you would have two columns, and that column would show up first.
So it doesn't really matter. Like, if you've got all your keywords and phrases, all of that good stuff, if you look at the HTML page with the right-hand navigation, all of your content, the paragraphs with the text, show up closer to the top of the text page for the search engine when it looks at it.
My fear would be with right-hand nav, people would have small screens like I do on my X61S ThinkPad, which has got a 12-inch screen.
Yeah.
They might lose the navigation on the right and have to scroll over to get to it.
That's right. And, you know, that is a problem because I know I try on some, like I've got a 15-inch monitor, and even when I do screen captures, they're 800 by 600, and this template is 966. It's even too big for an 800-pixel screen. So I recognize it's a problem, and that's why, you know, if I could, I'd try and get everything up onto the top menu.
Well, the other nice thing about running it on the side is if you want to group your links together under different categories, it gives a lot more context. Like, let's say you had a series of writers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're covering, like, one's got covering architecture, another one's covering maybe social dynamics, and another one's covering... But anyway, you got all your writers under one, and then you've got, like, maybe commercial stuff, services, and rentals, and things under another one, and you simply cannot do that with the upper hand nav unless you do the drop-downs.
Yeah, the drop downs, and the other one that I'm playing around with, and it's not complete on the My Small Biz web hosting, is I've actually got separate menus for separate categories now, but they are on the right hand side.
So how does that work? Does it click the super category above, and then the subcategory still out on the right?
Yeah, well, you can have as many menus as you. That's a good difference between WordPress and Joomla. But I can have as many menus as I want in Joomla, and I can have a menu show up on any category, section, or module.
Mm-hmm.
So I can create a menu with whatever I want on it, and I can have that menu only show up when a particular category of content is showing, or a particular section.
Which is really cool. You know, what I'm thinking about doing, I'm thinking about that module that I took out, I'm thinking about just putting it back in and then going in to edit the module and just don't have it show up anywhere.
That's right.
You know, then that's just going to make my life really easy.
Yep.
Or just have it show up on one page, some obscure page that nobody's going to go to. Then when I want to get my links, I'll just go to that obscure page. And
yeah. Like for example, on the My Small Biz web hosting, if you go to the start here, the 1,000 videos, and then start here, or actually, what's a good one? I'm just looking for one that I've got set up, because I don't have them set up.
Is that your mom up there in that picture?
Yes, it is.
That's a really great picture of you with your mom, by the way.
That was her.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. She passed away.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
That's kind of cool that your mom will be, like, in perpetuity on your site.
Yeah, no kidding. Actually, just click on the resources, and then if you get the forum one there, click on resources forum.
Okay.
Resources forum. Okay. Oh, by the way, how did you get your categories? I'm going to assume that.
Nice.
When I put, we know the resources are there. There's another menu called resource links
on the right-hand side.
Yes.
Now that one only shows up on forums right now.
Because you just had the module only be displayed on that page.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How did you get your, are those, when we hover our mouse over the top horizontal nav bar, are those sections that are showing up there on the drop down?
That's the main menu, and what I did for the 1,000 videos one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the actual 1,000 videos, the actual menu item, if you click on it, is a section blog view. But if you look on the anything that drops down below it, That is a section.
Okay, so how did you get the sections to show up in a drop-down from that main nav thing?
I added a menu item to the main menu, and I, you know, the menu type is a section category view, or section list view, not the blog view, but the list view. And then I think it's list view. But it's not blog view. It's the opposite of blog view. So it just shows a table of all of the sections. And then what I did is when you have the parent item, instead of the parent item being the root or the top one, I just picked 1,000 videos as the parent item.
Okay.
You're not there yet. The home menu is there by default, right? The main one?
Got it. Yep.
I add another menu item called 1,000 videos.
I understand that.
Okay. I add another menu item called live coaching, another one called resources.
Right.
So right now I've got four items in the menu tree.
Got
it. They're all sort of root items, right? They're not below anything.
Right.
So what happens is I add one of the ones that I just said, like a section, and it has ordering. It has ordering. And by default, it's kept as in the root level, but what I do is I've got four choices there now. I've got keep it under home, keep it under 1,000 videos, keep it under live coaching, or keep it under resources. So I just select 1,000 videos. So when it shows up automatically as a drop-down.
Okay.
Because its root is 1,000 videos, not home.
Okay.
For all 10 or 11 of them.
And you do that in the add menu. It's under the add.
It's in the menu manager. Yes.
Menu manager. Okay.
Menu manager, and there's two parts in the menu manager. One is to add actual menus, and then the other one is to add menu items. You need to add menu items.
Okay.
But that's just an example. I just wanted to show that to you because I added a menu called resource links, put it in the right-hand side, and it only shows up as when the forum is there.
On the forum page. Okay.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Okay.
All right, we have to let this man go to bed.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is actually, just to let you know, I'm not entirely sure that I've got you set up properly in the support desk one. I probably do. You should be able to get in still with the Doug at greenbacklane.com and your password. The same one you use for the support desk, you should be okay there. And that's at my office web hosting.
Sorry. And I want to let you guys know that I had a really great experience with JoomLancers.com.
Oh, good.
And I got a really great group called Joomla Vogue, and they have like 17 designers and graphics people, and they're awesome. They were very fast. They did a great job, and they were a great price.
Good.
So it's really easy to get some work done if you guys want to do that.
Excellent.
You know. Okay.
When I go to log in, I'm getting
error 500.
No, I get shopping cart.
And up in the upper right hand. Go click back one.
Okay.
Go to the main page, and up in the upper right hand corner of the main page.
It says customer service.
No,
login. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try that one and see what happens. Nothing.
Yeah, you have to actually click on the login. So you put your email address in, the password, and then click on login.
Yeah, I did. I had a script blocker going, so I had to take that off. It's calling me. Yes, there we go. Looks like I'm in.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right, I was trying to log in down below or right by the help, you know, down in the page itself.
Yeah, and it'll bring you to the order page. And that's actually a little something that I ran into. Because I'm using not a standard login box, I'm using like a one that I had written to work with WHMCS, there's actually one called a little plugin that I found called Disable Core Registration. And what that does is when you have stuff on the page where it's always gives people the option to log in. I didn't want them to register at the regular Joomla place, right? So I use that little plugin that any place in the site where it has a login, where people who are not logged in try to, you know, access some hidden or protected material, it brings them to the order page.
Okay.
So that's why you went to that page the first time. So just log in. I'm in the upper right. You should be good.
Okay. Here's actually a real quick question, comment. I'm finding that if I put a login page and call it .html, but it's on the primary site, and then I have a Joomla site behind it, and it's as index.php, if somebody types in the domain name, they'll always go to the opt-in page, right?
They should.
That's the way you can have your opt-in page on the front end of a site.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right.
I think we did that in the last coaching call, because that was one of the questions that came up.
I think you told me that once before.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Now I'm going to bed.
Okay.
Okay.
Buenas noches.
All right.
No, you can't sleep. Okay. Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Hey, I'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye.